Welcome to A Random Talk Down Quant Street. This series takes you behind the scenes of quant investing, breaking down complex ideas and tackling the questions you've always wanted to ask. Matthias, welcome back and thanks for being willing to answer these questions of mine.
Thanks, Erica. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, in the previous episode, you spoke about the broad factor groupings. So, at essence, the value, quality, momentum, and analyst revision. So, what I understand is that is your framework for stock selection. So, given that framework, if you apply it, what would be the perfect stock that would come out of that? So, a super stock in your eyes?
Yeah, well, the quant super stock, difficult question, but let's try me to explain it. So, first, we're looking for high quality stocks. So that means that the stock or the company is highly profitable, has a strong balance sheet, and also the management really focuses on the shareholder value and not on empire building. At the same time, the stock is in a positive trend, and related to this, we also like when analysts are revising their earnings estimates upwards. And despite all these good things, we are looking for a stock that is trading at cheap multiples like earnings to price or cash flow to price.
So you now described quality, momentum, and value. But Matthias, everyone is looking for that, right? So you're just describing this perfect environment. Surely it's impossible to build a model that gives you a high quality stock and one that's cheap at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. So what we see is that high quality stocks and stocks that had very good momentum, they tend to trade at premium prices. And this was the reason that we see negative or modest correlations among these factors.
Okay.
So when value goes up, then quality and momentum tend to be neutral or even negative. But this is a great thing because when combining these factors in our multi-factor ranking, we are enjoying diversification benefits. So this means that compared to the standalone factors, the multi-factor ranking delivers you a higher return at the same risk or a similar return at lower risk.
Okay, but when you first say combining them, to my mind, that means that you're just diluting because you're throwing everything together to solve this problem of not being able to find a single perfect stock.
No, that's because these factors all work already standalone. Mm-hmm. Combining them makes them even stronger.
All right. So in the previous episode, when we spoke about what a factor is, you described what is academically acceptable globally on what a reliable factor is that you know that works over time. But to me, that is from a statistical perspective. But if you look at the underlying fundamentals, the economic reason for these factors, why is it that they do indeed work? Why does value work? Why does quality work, etc.?
So basically, there are two big explanations. One is a risk-based explanation. The other one is one more mispricing-based explanations. And we typically tend to see different explanations for the different factors, and therefore also they are not perfectly correlated. For risk-based explanations, sometimes brought up for value. So people say investors are compensated because value stocks are more exposed to distress risk. But in our research, we see that the value premium isn't concentrated in the most distressed stocks, and you are able to differentiate between the value traps that are cheap for a reason and value stocks that really give you good returns. So the risk-based story seems to be not the whole story.
Okay.
But there's also the mispricing element. And although markets are already quite efficient, they are not always perfectly efficient. And there are like explanations like overreactions or underreactions. And staying at the value example, what we tend to see is that stocks that had very good and high growth in the past, for these stocks, investors try to extrapolating the past growth too much in the future, and therefore they trade really at high prices. And although these stocks also have higher future growth, on average, because of the high expectations, they rather disappoint the market and then having negative surprises. On the other side, value stocks that had poor growth in the past, they have also upside potential. They are surprising the market and therefore deliver good returns.
It's such a nice illustration because it touches on the theme that we've spoken about throughout the series is the human element, human behavior, creating these opportunities for quant investors.
Exactly. Mm.
If you could give another example, so you've explained why value works. Could you do the same for momentum? Why does the momentum factor work? It's been doing so well in recent quarters.
Exactly. So while value might be more an overreaction story, momentum tends to be more an underreaction story. So when new information comes to the market, this information does not get immediately incorporated into pricing, but diffuses more gradually. And therefore, the stocks initially goes up and goes up over time, tending to create the momentum. And this is also then the effect.
Matthias, thank you. Really interesting. Good to speak to you. Well, that's it for now. We'll be back next time with Iman, exploring what AI really adds to investing. Stay tuned for that. And please do share the series in the meantime.
Thanks for joining this Robeco podcast. Please tune in next time as well.